In just weeks, Robert Gibbs, that name is going to become very familiar to you, is going to become one of the most watched people in Washington, D.C., and that's when he becomes the White House press secretary. He's a 37-year-old veteran of politics from Alabama, and many say few people are closer to President-elect Barack Obama than he is. The White House press corps may be in for something a little different. New York Times Magazine writer Mark Leibovich joins us now from Washington. His profile of Gibbs is in The Weekend's magazine. Welcome back and good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
When you read about Gibbs, one of the things that you're struck by most is just how close he is to Barack Obama.
Now, they have spent many, many, many hours together on many, many planes and many hotels over the last 4.5 years since Gibbs went to work for him originally, and particularly over the last 2 years since Obama's presidential campaign started. That is somewhat unusual for a White House spokesman. I mean, typically there are a few layers of remove between the president and the guy who goes on the podium every day and briefs the press. So this should, you know, create an interesting dynamic in that on one hand, Robert will be, imbued with a lot of information. He knows the rhythms of this president really, really well. But on the other hand, information, can help you, you know, speak with a kind of authority, but it can also be somewhat perilous in that you can, you have to be even extra careful not disclosing information that's sensitive and that shouldn't get out.
But he's certainly been very good at doing that through the primary process. I mean, this is a group of people who are well known for being able to keep information and not have it leak out.
Very much so. I mean, this is a very, very tight-knit, loyal, group at the top of the Obama campaign. Now, when you get into a White House, the circle certainly expands, and there are new people involved. There are cabinet officials and their staffs involved. There's Congress involved. So it can be much harder to keep, tight a lid on information. And as we've seen in the transition, I mean, it's been pretty leaky. I mean, there have been a number of instances of names of cabinet officials or cabinet appointments coming out a few days before they were intended to. So, I mean, it should be an interesting, thing to evolve.
And you certainly write about how Barack Obama was apparently livid by the leaks related to Hillary Clinton. And nominating her to be Secretary of State. But let's talk about Gibbs. He's from Alabama. He's 37 years old. He's been in politics a long time. How do you describe his demeanor, his outlook?
Robert is, on one hand, I mean, sort of a backslapper, joke-telling, very affable guy in many ways, but he also has some real pit bull tendencies in defense of his boss. Robert is combative. He can be combative. I mean, there are some pretty well-publicized shouting matches he actually had on the air during the campaign. Once, pretty famously with Sean Hannity of Fox News. So he is, exceedingly loyal. I mean, he is not, he's not someone who is probably going to make a lot of news from the podium. I mean, there aren't really any examples that many can think of or I can think of him sort of screwing up and misspeaking. I mean, I'm sure there will be some. But Robert is, he's a pro. He is, I think, somewhat well-liked within the press, but I also think, I don't think you're going to come across many people who say that, he has really spilled the beans for them on anything either.
Well, Mark, let's look at this from the perspective of what it says about Obama's vision of how the White House is going to function. I mean, on one hand, he definitely wants few, if any, leaks, which maybe argues for a Bush-style inner circle, which was pretty darn good in the first term.
Right.
But on the other hand, there's a kind of a high intellectual sort of level that Obama projects, and that argues for a more of a Pierre Salinger kind of Kennedy style. Which do you think?
Yeah, it's a tough balance. I mean, their watchwords are transparency and openness. I mean, they are the things that they say over and over and over again when they discuss their communication strategy. But, at the same time—
And I don't think many people actually believe that.
Well, whether they do or not, I mean, they also explicitly told me for the story that they followed the quote-unquote Bush model of communications discipline on the campaign, which, many would say is at odds with the notion of transparency and openness. So it's a very, I think, on one hand, if you're going to use the Internet and put the weekly radio address on YouTube, as the Obama people are doing, I mean, it's a bell and whistle in some ways. I mean, it's saying, okay, we're using high tech to make this all more accessible. But, you know, you also have to ask, I mean, how much information is really being imparted, you know, useful information is being imparted that wouldn't be otherwise.
And, yeah, you're bringing up a point that came to my mind, which is this going to be a departure about the way the press communicates with the White House when you're talking about the Internet, the reliance on non-traditional means of communicating that the Barack Obama campaign adopted? Is there going to be less reverence for the traditional Washington press corps that we've seen over the decades?
I mean, if the campaign is any indication, yes. I mean, they spoke, again, quite openly to me about their almost disdain for, you know, insider publications, they would say. I mean, there's this, you know, the Politico, which is a political magazine, you know, largely online, is something they aggressively, you know, tried to ignore. And they, you know, they sort of boasted about not doing any editorial board meetings with the Washington Post, which would be unheard of, you know, for a previous candidate. But, you know, again, you know, and Gibbs said, you know, not a lot of people in Waterloo, Iowa are reading the Washington Post.
Ouch.
He said pretty proudly. But at the same time, you know, in Washington, there are a lot of people reading the Washington Post. And these are the constituency's changes now. And, you know, every member of Congress is going to pick up the Washington Post in the morning. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how they sort of shift from a level of almost disdain for Washington and the media rules of the city to actually trying to cater to it to some degree.
That disdain that you talk about, there's almost a gleeful tone in some of the quotes that you provide in your article.
Right.
Best guess, Mark, does Gibbs understand what he's getting into, or is he, like, loving this and going to jump in with, you know, all limbs?
I think both. I mean, it sounds like a cop-out answer, but I think he is having fun in some ways. I mean, I think he does recognize the historical moment of this, and I think he likes being on TV, I mean, which is an important, you know, thing for someone in that job.
There's a lot of hams in Washington, D.C., Mark.
I guess so.
Of course not you included.
Never, never, never.
Mark Leibovich, thanks so much for joining us. As always, a great pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.